8:02 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. These are the days that I remember in August now. Because remember in July, we were given a bevy. It was a bountiful buffet of sprots. And everything was pushed a month later. Yeah, so right up until the end of July, we were breaking signings and trades. Mm-hmm. And
we've actually had a terrific summer in the way of things to talk about because we also had the Euros.
Yep.
And we've had hockey running late and hockey news running late.
Basketball running late.
Now, with all due respect to the Olympics, it feels like we're starting to run out of gas a little bit. Not the show. The show has so much energy. But there's just less on to really like sink our teeth into.
And in a related story, we're going on vacation next week.
It's a struggle too. Yeah, we are. It's a struggle too for us because sometimes like when the Olympics comes up, it's exciting, but there isn't that great debate angle that we have with, say, the Vancouver Canucks, because everyone's so knowledgeable about the Canucks. Half the time, I feel like when we're talking about the Olympics, it's all of us working together to figure out how it works.
We're all learning.
We don't, like the number one challenge is, what time does this start?
Together we learn. Yeah, I've learned lots about the Olympics over the last little bit, thanks in large part to the Dunbar Lumber text line. People are texting in, telling me stuff about the Olympics. I had no idea. They're on at all weird hours. I watched skateboarding last night.
Did you?
There was a 13-year-old girl skateboarding. It was remarkable.
Aren't like the 12 and 13-year-olds winning it?
Yes,
too?
They're dominating the field. This one, she failed to do a grabby on her twisty McFakey and fell, so she didn't do as well.
Did you just make that up?
Parts of it. Mm-hmm. Parts of it were real.
The twisty McFakey?
I think I was the real part. But I was watching it, and then it's funny because the vibe, as I throw a vibe very casually here, the vibe around competitive skateboarding at the Olympics, they're all teenagers,
mm-hmm.
and they're all friends.
Yeah.
So when one finishes the run, for lack of a better term, the bowl, when one finishes their bowl, all the other competitors from different countries come up and hug and congratulate them. Mm-hmm. And it's a very communal atmosphere.
They do that in gymnastics too.
Not among the different competing teams.
Well, yeah, I think there was a lot of hugs for Simone Biles when she finished her routine.
Yeah, but that's a little different, I think, because of all the struggles that she had gone through.
Do you think that was unique to her?
No, I'm sure. Maybe it is.
See, we have no idea what we're talking about.
No idea.
Mike is pretending that he knows, but I don't know what the etiquette is in gymnastics.
I'm assuming it's probably more competitive. I'll just put it that way. It feels like a more competitive environment.
I think they go over and they hug, but they say something like,
"I hate you."
That wasn't very good.
And they just quietly whisper in their ear. Speaking of quietly whispering in your ear, I'm about to do an accurate. Halford and Bruff in the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer.
All right, this is getting creepy.
Do Kintec, but don't whisper it. Do it loud. Whisper the pedorthist part.
This hour of Halford and Bruff is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. All right, Josh, it's time for – we normally don't start what we learn so early, and we normally don't leave so much time for what we learned.
But we're low on show content.
Exactly. So play the What We Learned music now.
We're going to need a few things for this class.
Boring.
An eagerness to learn. A thirst for knowledge.
So, what did we learn in the last 24 hours?
When life gives you lemons, just say, "F*** the lemons," and bail.
Wow, you sure know a lot of stuff.
It's great to learn.
Because knowledge is power.
Okay, I'm going to start here, and I am a little hesitant to bring up this story for reasons which will become clear. It's about horses and sumo wrestlers.
Mm-hmm. Both things near and dear to your heart. More so with the horses, less so with the sumos.
Okay, I don't look like a horse.
Well,
and I don't know why this has caught on to such a degree. Ray Ferraro made...
I think you know.
Ray Ferraro made one comment like a year ago, And I can't even remember what the comment was. It was maybe that I have a long face.
People don't forget.
Because I'm tall, Ray. You should look into it. I have a longer face. So anyway, what I learned, and again, hesitant to even bring this up, also the horsey people are very upset with us at times because we don't know stuff about horses.
There's a lot of equine issues on this show.
Yeah. Apparently in the show jumping in the Olympics,
okay,
there's concern that horses are getting spooked by a statue of a sumo wrestler, which is right beside one of the obstacles. And British rider Harry Charles, which is a very British name.
One of my favorites.
Harry Charles says, "As you come around, you see a big guy's butt." Here's another quote. "There's a lot to look at." And another one, "It is very realistic." So what they've had to do...
Why would they put this here in the first place?
Well, it's the Olympics. There's colorful designs in the
show
jumping.
No, I get it. I get it. But it just feels... Oh, all the hurdles are decorated with these things.
No,
Kimonos, Japanese palace, yeah. Taiko drums. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's part of the pageantry of the Olympics. They have a very colorful course. Is it called a course? Probably a course. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. You're right.
So what they've had to do is they've had to...
Of course you do.
They've had to take the horses for a little like meet and greet with the sumo statue before the race. So they're like, see, this guy's not going to do anything. He's not alive.
He's not alive. It is very realistic looking. I'm looking at a picture of it right now.
It looks like a sumo wrestler is calling someone safe at home.
Yes. The hands are extended, outward, shoulders pointing downward as in a very subtle but a definitive safe.
The horse would see the guy's back or his butt as the horse was running up towards the obstacle or jump. So maybe they think it's this guy that's just going to like just go, ah!
Right. If anyone ever played Street Fighter growing up, it looks like E. Honda from Street Fighter.
Right.
There's a pull. This is interesting. Now, my biggest issue with this entire thing, not so much with the large, and I want to overstate, large sumo wrestler figure on the course, but rather the horses don't get medals. I feel like the horse should get a medal at the end of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, I know this is near and dear to your heart,
mm-hmm.
which is right next to your face because it's so long. But I don't understand. Like, we just finished watching show jumping on the TV in studio, and all the competitors, and by that I mean the human ones, they're crying and they're overcome with emotion. And I keep saying, like, should we not recognize the horse, which did 90% of the work here?
Well, especially in...
It seems stoic.
In horse racing, the jockey doesn't get that much attention, and it's the horse, right?
True. The jockey gets a fair bit of attention.
The jockey would get more. Yeah, they.
If the horse wins the Kentucky Derby, he doesn't get a cut of the winnings. Which
he should,
I always
though,
found
right?
Unfair. Yeah,
and he should be able to enjoy it,
right?
But as he sees fit.
But that's hard because I'm not sure horses understand the concept of currency. However, I feel like a horse would understand if it was getting a medal. Like, it's like, well, this is pretty cool. I could show this off to other guys around the stable or gals. That's my one big takeaway from this entire thing.
Wouldn't it be hilarious, too, for the ceremony?
Yeah.
I mean, you'd have to have a big podium. But do they have a podium?
You know they could get on a podium. Look at what these horses
jump up on the podium. Yeah.
These horses can dance for crying out loud. You don't think you can get up on a podium? Come on. Huh?
When you call dressage horse dancing,
yeah.
I actually tell my friends that. Like, did you ever hear the time that Halford called dressage horse dancing? It was one of the funniest moments of the show because you literally could not find the word. You didn't know. Like, what is it? What is it? You know, it's horse dancing.
But then I came up with a more appropriate and accurate term. It's like dressage. Ask the horse. You go, horse, dance with me. It's very, very sensual at times.
Here's a text. You guys are so dumb, and this is why I listen. And this is what you're going to get in the summer hours.
Yeah.
Okay? It's either that or a CFL preview. Yeah. We might have a CFL preview tomorrow.
We'll see.
We are efforting Moj.
Toughest get in the province.
Can we get Moj on this station now? Yes. Do you think he'd come on our show?
Yes.
Moj, text me if you're listening.
Yes. I mean, okay, well, before we, okay, moo cow that.
Moo cow, yeah.
Moo cow that Moj and all that horse talk. We also learned that Moj is, he's got a new podcast coming out now with Farhan Lalji of another network. Moj and Farhan are doing a football podcast together. Go check them out. I wish I had it exactly in front of me so I could give all the details. Do you want to look it up while I rag the puck here? But we will get Moj at some point this week because the Lions...
It's called Farhan and Moj.
Yeah, well, there you go. Okay, I should have known that.
They're just going to talk about football, not just CFL. Okay. NFL, NCAA.
Right, all levels of football. I imagine they'll do some Canadian university football as well. The CFL season is upon us in a short order of time, so we'll get on that. Mook out that.
Come on.
I learned that John Tortorella is going to be back in the mix, though not in the role that you're accustomed to seeing him behind an NHL bench. No. Torts will not be coaching next season, but according to Aaron Portsline of The Athletic, one of the best beat writers in the league, covers the Columbus Blue Jackets, he has been told by his sources that John Tortorella has been hired as a studio analyst by ESPN.
That's awesome. I'm so glad.
Well,
I think he's going to...
Hold on.
Okay.
So the standard boring traditional sports talk radio take is... I don't like that Torts is joining the media because he always dumped all over the media when he was a coach. I don't care about any of that. Crap on the media's head. Who cares? Get on with it.
Yeah, we deserve it.
Right. You don't want to talk. Doesn't matter. It's the most tired, old, static take ever. The thing you have to think about is that Torts has done this before and, quite frankly, wasn't all that good at it. Because I think the problem is he doesn't like to criticize players that aren't his own players. And the only time he really goes off is when he's emotionally invested.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's an emotional investment when you're an analyst.
Well, that's the thing. He's not pressing anyone's buttons.
Right. Torts would pop off at the opponents and say stuff about, remember we said Crosby and Malkin calling their whining stars? Like, he did that.
You know what the... Your accents are terrible.
It's really good, though. I'm doing Torts trying to do it.
So bad.
The stars.
All right, stop it. Now I've completely lost my train of thought. What they need is someone that will poke Torts a little bit in the broadcast.
I just don't think it's going to work because I don't think that even if you needle him a little bit, the guy is a dyed-in-the-wool hockey coach.
I think you can needle Torts and you'll get something out of him. He just has to be the right guy.
Like the thing that may – when these guys cross over, when the big colorful personalities cross over to do media, you got to remember that – for a lot of them, there's no more skin in the game. Like, they're just doing it to get paid. There's not a lot of them that go to media and like, I really want to learn about this.
Well, they want to keep their name out there too, right?
Berkey was good at it because he kept up the persona of being the old, grouchy, grumpy guy.
Well, I think he is.
Right. And that's part of the charm, but also part of the reason why he got back into hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Because in his core... he's like the old grouchy guy thing, and the reason I don't like these things is because I genuinely want to make decisions and to make change and to have a say in these things.
Right.
If you're just throwing ideas out into the ether, you're basically just Bruff and I talking about why horses should get medals.
Do you think Torts will be better on ESPN and an American network? Do you think he might have more passion about that than he was in Canada?
That's a good point because all due respect to the TSN and Sportsnet panels, they're pretty vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really like they do the TSN does. Here's the Quizmaster.
Yeah.
You know, who would you rather have as your number one center?
It's good, but it's more lighthearted.
And it's not really, and then, you know, the debate topics are never really anything like controversial. I think if ESPN chooses to go in a direction where it's like, we see what, TNT and the NBA panel is the gold standard, I don't think they're going to get there. I think they need to come up with something that is compelling while also organic, while also controversial. And it's going to be really difficult because those three words are often not associated
and
with
and try to make it sound like you're doing it effortlessly.
Yes. And so far, they got like putting Wayne Gretzky on a panel, and he's already said...
Wayne Gretzky is... Well, I guess I'll give him a chance, but I don't think he's going to be great. I don't think it's going to translate. at all. I think Wayne's,
there's nothing
boring.
There's nothing to translate. It's like the boringness doesn't translate. It comes across as boring because it's boring.
Yeah.
What they're getting, what the ideal here with Torts is, I think what you were alluding to is poke the bear a little bit. Mm-hmm. Let's see what we can get him to say.
Just punches someone out on the broadcast.
Yeah. I mean, this
is the
guy.
Cameras rolling for that? That was good.
This is a guy that went after another coach in the dressing room between periods. So you know that the potential is there to fire him up. The question is, can you fire him up? And is he going to deliver
the goods that
you want?
The skin in the game part is really good. Because, look, I think there's something about Torts where he's naturally fiery.
Yes.
There's no question about that. But a lot of his eruptions and emotions are calculated, and he's trying to get a reaction out of players. He's trying to create conflict on his team,
yes,
for a purpose. So what's his purpose as a broadcaster?
And we're gonna find out.
Maybe, you know what he should try and do? He should try and needle the other broadcasters to be better.
Yeah, he could raise the level.
That's your opinion, really? Yeah. That's your opinion?
And he could say, he's like, we're getting killed by TNT over there. We're the underdogs here. That's a Torts. Okay, Mukow that. Okay, here's a question we can answer on the other side. Speaking of Kevin Bieksa, who, of course, we've had on this program, when we get him back on the fall, is he the new gold standard for hockey broadcasters? This one comes in courtesy of KH to the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. Is an awkward position for us because I don't want to sound like we're carrying water because we all work for the same company, and Bieksa comes on this station and he's obviously a huge part of Sportsnet's NHL coverage, but objectively, and I think I can say this objectively, he has changed the standard for sure in terms of analysis and delivery as an ex-player, right? Usually the thing with the ex-players is, well, they got to get up to speed and they got to learn how to talk on television and on radio, and they need to bring all these things. You need to be casual, but you also need to be insightful. You need to have stories from your playing days, but you can't rely on that. And then you also have to get into all the technical stuff, being able to talk over graphics and being able to go in and out seamlessly with all the broadcast stuff, having someone talk in your ear and being able to ignore it.
And be comfortable on it. With it, and the thing with Bieksa is he is very much a TV exec's dream, because he can get his point across quickly, and you need to be able to do that. On radio, you can just drone on and on and on. That's why I actually find TV difficult.
Yeah,
and we both do, because we ramble, right? And then they're like, okay, move it along, guys. The graphic is on to like the third graphic, and you're still talking about the first graphic. It can be challenging. See, I've rambled about this. You can't do this on TV.
Keep going. He's
bright. He's passionate about the game. Like, you can tell he likes it.
Yeah.
You also get some of these ex-players that come on, and you're like, this guy is doing it for the paycheck. He doesn't want to be doing this. He would prefer to be golfing.
Yes.
He's just keeping busy. Not even for the paycheck. Because a lot of the guys have made money, right? Yeah. They're fine.
Something to do.
That isn't golf. Feels like I should be doing this. Kevin Bieksa has that showman's quality where he actually wants to put on a bit of a show. He wants to make people laugh. And here's another thing for TV. He's a good-looking guy.
Devilishly handsome.
He is. And that's, as maybe it shouldn't be, but it is important.
Another reason you and I have not really thrived in the television.
Yeah, he looks good in a suit, and we don't even own suits.
No, the last time I put one on, everyone was like, that doesn't fit. Okay, we got to go to
Shane O'Brien joins us now.
I thought I had a gold standard there about what it was supposed to look like, but I guess not. Okay, we got a lot more to get into on this program. What We Learn's Humanoid Edition. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. The SMART, also known as SMALT alternative, visit Dunbar Lumber on Bridge Street in Ladner or Arbutus in Vancouver or online at dunbarlumber.com. 650-650, get your What We Learns in. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? Let us know. We'll read it. And that's how you, the listener, can be on the radio. It's the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Are you ready to get fired up for the next game? Nothing helps more than a bowl of Campbell's new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup. Let me tell you, it's got tons of seasoned chicken, veggies, and noodles all in a tasty, spicy broth. So it'll fill you up and get you fired up. So take your day to the next level and see if you can handle the heat with the new chunky spicy chicken noodle soup.
8:26 on a Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Bruff of the Morning is brought to you by the fine folks at the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Kintec, Jason. Tell them about orthotics and pedorthists and leg length.
This hour of Halford and Bruff is brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Yeah, I have got one leg is longer than the other. It is quite a, it's a common thing. It's not like, it's not like a foot longer. It's slightly longer.
And I hope not.
And it affects my gait, as they call it. So when Kintec made my orthotics, they gave me a slight lift in one of my orthotics. So, you know, I'm all even now.
Good.
Which is great. Mm. Now I can do the dressage a lot easier.
Dance with me, horse.
Do your feet hurt? Or do you have a leg length discrepancy and you don't even know it? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net. They want me to become like a case study there too, which is a little disconcerting.
So future horses can thrive in a similar fashion?
Like, look at this guy and his freaky legs. We can fix this.
It's true. You should. You could become like you know, like one of those guys in the Slim Fast commercials. You could be like the before and after.
Inspirational?
Look, yeah, I don't know if they took video of you walking before. You're like, look at how much he lumbered in his gait. Now look at him. He walks like a human. It's amazing. Okay, let's fire up the Dot Matrix. Print out some of these humanoid submissions for what we learned. Let's do an old school Wednesday Would You Drather from the king of Would You Drathers, Mike in Aldergrove. Would you drather, he asks, have a burger and fries or two burgers in your meal? Now, this, of course, is the, this is when you go to a fast food restaurant, you go through the drive-thru.
Burger and fries.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, for sure. I'm left wanting when I get two burgers and no fries.
I think I've
done it before, yeah, but
here's a man that has ordered both on occasion. I think I'm a two burgers guy.
Even at McDonald's with those fries, you could say no to those fries.
Yeah, because with the value meal, also you're getting in at a very reasonable price. Do you ever order? I don't order the meals anymore because I don't drink.
I get the combos. Yeah,
I drink pop.
Yeah, that's my weakness.
The soda.
Yeah,
soda
pop.
Josh, feel free to weigh in. You don't have any weird dietary restrictions like the other guy, do you?
No, okay. I'm a two burger guy though.
You are over the fries.
Yeah, usually what I'll do. If I'm going to McDonald's, two burgers and fries and a drink. But like small burgers.
You're just a growing boy, aren't you?
Like, I'm getting grown.
He's so skinny.
Adorable.
You're 23, right?
Yeah, my metabolism still works.
Enjoy doing that. Enjoy doing that.
Congrats on the metabolism.
Minor Matt and Abbotsford, what we learned. Bob Hartley should be hired as Tortorella's broadcast partner. Yeah, they're going to need to do something to fire up Torts.
Yep. Bring in Larry Brooks. Bring in Bob Hartley.
And one of the
Bob Hartley.
Yeah. One of the things will be like, Torts, you're not better than us. Like, just don't be so. Torts almost acted ashamed that he was in the media. Did you get that feeling? He's like, I can't believe I'm doing this with you idiots.
Yeah, that's true. There was a very condescending attitude.
Totally. Which and actually, you know what? Keep that condescending attitude.
They'd trot out the quiz from the quiz master and be like, man, I hate this thing.
He hates, you know why he hates him? Because he hated hypotheticals. Remember when he was always like, I'm not going to answer your hypotheticals, you know?
That was a better Torts.
Well, of course it was. Okay. I'm better at impression.
I got one here from Adam, the former bath guy. We didn't even mention this. Hashtag WWO, what we learned. Adam, the former bath guy, learned that Trent Carroll has left the Vancouver Canucks. Should we address this? Because to be perfectly honest, this is more of a Bruff thing than a Halford thing. Like, if it's not on the hockey ops side, I kind of gloss over it. And it's, but you are.
What do you mean a Bruff side?
You're more into the business side.
Boring?
Of things. Yeah. The boring, not interesting parts of the team, Bruff seems to really take a passion to.
I think it's interesting just because.
So tell everybody what happened.
Well, they've got a new president of Canucks Sports and Entertainment.
So CSE like, for short.
The business side. And what's his name? Michael Doyle?
Correct.
Okay.
This is your thing. Don't ask me any questions.
Well, you brought it up, so you can't just introduce it and just be like, figure it out.
Yet here we are.
I do that to you a lot, though.
Yeah, I was going to say it.
So this is a guy that has been working with the Aquilinis in their restaurant group, Top Table, which has some nice restaurants. And he's also worked for Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment and the Walt Disney Group.
He's a former hockey player as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So his challenge this year is, you know, it's multiple challenges. First of all, returning from the pandemic and how that all runs. And also, I think, reinvigorating the fan base. So they've got a new team on the ice, but they're also going to want people to be excited to return to the arena, to be excited. They've also got a new team in Abbotsford that I imagine is going to fall under Doyle's control.
Sure.
Now, if you wanted to make a stink out of it and be house of negativity, there has been a lot of turnover in the corporate ranks. Trent Carroll, who was the COO, so that's the chief operations officer, I think. And he replaced, who was it, Stipek?
Correct.
And Vic DeBonis came before Stipek. Is DeBonis with Seattle now? I have a feeling he's working with the Kraken now, but you'll have to Google that really quickly. This is also more of like a Sakaris thing where he's like, what is going on with the turnover at the Rogers Arena offices, right?
Yes.
Which is a legitimate question, right? Just like, why do all these executives, they get the promotion, they're the top dog on the business side, and then a couple of years later, they're like, nah, I'm going to move on, right? Because Trent Carroll is moving on. Now, I think that's a question worth asking, but I also think it should be noted that there is so much turnover everywhere.
Yep.
Just in because of the pandemic, because there were initially cuts made to a lot of staffs, like regardless of the business, but especially in the entertainment business, which essentially crawled to a stop. So there are all of a sudden, like just because someone gets laid off doesn't mean that they're going to bring that person back when business gets back to normal. Maybe they're like, well, you know what? This is an opportunity to make some changes, to rejig operations. And I think they are rejigging operations a little bit with the Canucks. There are all sorts. I'm sure maybe you're listening right now and you've changed jobs, right? Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of changes going on right now. So I'm not going to sit there and say that this is another sign of dysfunction. And how that everyone that works the top job for the Aquilini seems to leave. Mm. But I will say I'm curious from a business perspective how things go for the Canucks, because don't forget that impacts things like their spending on, well, players, they're usually pretty close to the cap, but spending on their AHL team, spending on their coaching staff, spending on their management. You should be cheering for the Canucks to return to profitability, or at least for revenues to increase dramatically. And then this new guy, Michael Doyle, that's going to be his job.
Well, Doyle rules, one. Two, DeBonis is indeed the COO in Seattle.
Okay.
So good pull there.
What we learned from Iman from North Van, who I sometimes call I-Man. What we learned, comparing Quinn Hughes' upcoming contract to Cale Makar's or Dougie Hamilton's or Zach Werenski makes no sense. Makar was a Norris candidate last year. He was a top three defenseman in the entire league. And the year before, his season was better than Hughes, Hamilton, and Werenski in similar contracts. And those guys are on their third contracts. And they have had many seasons better than the ones Hughes has had. Hughes should come in at least $1.5 to $2 million below those contracts. That's why I think this contract negotiation could get interesting. And I'd say the same with Pettersson too. I wouldn't put Hughes in the same category as Cale Makar. I don't think Quinn Hughes has shown as much as Cale Makar. Frankly, I don't know if he's shown as much as Heiskanen. Heiskanen, I think, is a better two-way defenseman than Quinn Hughes. Quinn Hughes had some pretty rough moments last season. Mm-hmm. Put up a lot of points, yes, and that's important, and that's why he is going to get paid, and that's why we're so excited. Like, we obviously see the things that Quinn Hughes does well. This is not me saying that Quinn Hughes is a problem for the Vancouver Canucks. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that if you were to give me the choice right now, who would you rather have on your team, Cale Makar or Quinn Hughes? I'd take Cale Makar. And the contract should probably reflect that.
To respond to Iman, who I assume is not the world-famous supermodel. This is Iman from North Van. It does make sense, the comparisons, for two reasons. One, Negotiations right now are all about comps and where the starting points are for each side. So you can bet that the Hughes camp has looked at Werenski, Makar, and Heiskanen, and probably said, we'll start around $9 million. There's always a starting point. So there's one reason why it's not crazy. The other reason, the Quinn Hughes camp has a lot of leverage over the Vancouver Canucks. He is fundamentally important, the most important piece to that blue line. Also, and Jason has pointed this out on numerous occasions, if it ever got to the point of being a holdout because the Canucks have so much club control, it would be a major hammer to swing in negotiations to say, oh, yeah, you don't want to pay my client? How about starting the season without him?
How's that going to go over?
So, again, it does make sense to bring these things up. It might not end up coming in at the number of Werenski and Heiskanen and Makar, but you can guarantee that those three contracts mean something in these negotiations.
No, I mean, it's a great point, too, because we saw potential holdouts in Toronto with Marner and Nylander. Nylander missed some games, didn't he? But the Leafs were kind of like, we got lots of good forwards, right? We're probably going to be fine without you, at least.
Didn't Kasperi Kapanen really thrive when Nylander held out?
Well, right. I mean,
they had guys.
But that's the thing. I don't think the Canucks have the defense that can handle starting the season without Quinn Hughes, not for long at least. The pressure, the public pressure on the Canucks would grow immensely, and especially if they started out poorly. Remember, the Canucks essentially buried themselves with their start to the season this year. We were asking questions, 10, 15 games into the season, and it was a shortened season, and we were asking questions like, are the playoff hopes over? And essentially they were. When you look back at it, the Canucks stabilized at times and had a few decent runs, but for the most part, they were out of it. And they put themselves in such a deep hole, and they weren't good enough. Like, if they were a good team, they might have dug their way out of it, but they weren't a good team. They were, at best, a bubble team. And because of their start, they were finished. They start with a 6-game road trip this year.
Yeah.
If they put themselves behind the eight ball again, this is a massive season for the Canucks, both for the management group, the coaching staff, and for business operations.
Soapy on the Island, another Would You Drather. I just wanted to bring this one up because my kid and I were talking about this the other day, watching diving. Would you rather go 3 rounds in the ring with Floyd Mayweather, so Olympic boxing, or have to dive from the 10-meter platform at the Olympics? That's from Soapy on the Island. So I was talking with the boy about this the other day because it's Simon Fraser University. We spent a lot of time there. I went there. He's gone to many summer camps there. He's gone in the pool there. They had a 10-meter platform diving board. And I went on it as a kid. And I actually got all the way to the top and got to the edge of the board and then promptly went right back down the ladder. I couldn't do it. I have a terrible fear of heights. It's too high. You don't realize how high 10 meters in the air is until you're standing on the edge of that board, that platform, and you have to plunge into the water. Now, I eventually was able to summon the strength to do it, just jump off and feet first.
So you did it recently?
No, when I was a kid.
I never did it. I've never done it in my life.
I don't think I could dive head first. I think that would be too terrifying because the possibility for disaster is high at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I also wouldn't want to box with Floyd Mayweather for 3 rounds. Have you ever done any of this?
No, but it sounds like you're either choosing between like getting knocked out or just like hitting the water.
There's not a lot of knockouts in Olympic boxing, I noticed.
How big are the gloves?
Very big. They're like pillows.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're almost comically big, like something they would give to you at the county fair.
At a bar?
Yeah. Or, you know, when you have to do the feats of strength again and you got to punch the punching bag as hard as you can, it gives you like a strength score. I feel like that's what they would give you. The 10-meter platform, I don't know if we have any active pool enthusiasts or divers, if anyone has actually dove headfirst and completed a 10-meter platform dive.
Oh, I'm sure there are some people. Yeah.
It's just, if you rotate too far, you're basically doing a belly flop or a back flop at the most like extreme height, right? Like, it's just, that's going to leave a mark, potentially break a rib. I don't know, but it seems intense.
Avtar at Deltaport, what we learned, Vancouver will be a beautiful candidate for the Summer Olympics just as much as the winter. Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the summers would be at least a little, I mean, we've had a hot summer here, but not as hot as Tokyo.
No. Well, some days it's gotten there.
Not as humid.
The amount of infrastructure you need for the Summer Olympics is off the charts.
Would have to be a new stadium.
A couple, I think.
Yeah.
Tokyo's got a bunch of them. Mm. And then,
do we have a velodrome? Is it a velodrome? Is that what they're called?
I think we do have a velodrome, actually.
There's no way we have a velodrome.
I think it's out on the Barnett Highway.
There's no chance we have a velodrome.
Cycling people, am I wrong?
I'm pretty sure there's something like in Richmond that...
We're just making stuff up. Josh is making...
No, that's the airport. That's how the athletes get here.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Different. My bad.
Is it called that?
I think there's a velodrome in between Burnaby and Port Moody on the Barnett Highway next to the Harry Jerome Center. Someone just text in. You can even make it up if you don't know it. Like, no one really cares. But
A Burnaby Velodrome Club.
I knew it! Yes!
Oh,
that's great.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Olympic caliber in terms of having...
Have you been on
spectators?
It? That would be cool.
No.
It's super steep. Like, you don't appreciate how steep it is until you actually see it.
It's like the 10-meter platform. You don't realize how terrifying it is until you're right there, smack in the middle of it. Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll do some more velodrome talk on the other side. Alfred Brough, Sportsnet, 650. Final segment of the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Friendly reminder this hour brought to you by the fine folks at the Dallara family of Acura dealers. Do you want to be like me? Probably not. Do you want to drive the same car as me? Probably. The TLX. Go check it out now. Three dealerships to serve you better. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura at 730 Terminal Avenue. They all have TLXs in stock. Fantastic car. I feel sleek driving it around. I haven't had a good old-fashioned sedan in a while. I've been an SUV guy lately.
Right.
But
you look cool.
I do look cool.
I mean, until you get out of the car, and then only the car looks cool.
That's right. Like, who is that guy driving it? What is his problem?
That guy shouldn't be driving that car.
What is his problem, they ask. And then I walk away and cry quietly.
We had a text into the Dunbar Lumber text line. We were talking about diving off the high dive. When diving off a high platform, you launch out with your body somewhat horizontal. Don't commit to the vertical posture until a few meters from the surface. I bet that's tough the first time. You're like, should I vertical now? No, too late.
Yeah, there's no chance. Like, it's just like when they tell you, I've never skydived or skydove. Mm. They're like, you have to do this, this, and this. I'm like, don't give me instructions. I'm going to be falling out of an airplane. There's 0% chance I'm going to follow anything you tell me. That's what they should brace for, is chaos in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my goal when I finally jumped off the platform was hit the pool with your feet. And if you did that, mission accomplished. And even that hurt.
Was there any water left in the pool?
It was when I was a kid.
Oh, okay.
I've gotten heftier. Like, there was no grace or dignity involved with it. You just, like I said, you know, there's kids that'll, like, bomb off the edge and try and do a cannonball. That'll empty the pool.
Yeah.
You're hitting that water in extreme speed.
I remember as a kid, the indoor at UBC, was it 10 meters? Because the outdoor, I felt, was higher. The indoor might have not even been 10 meters.
I don't
remember the old UBC setup. There was the outdoor pool and the indoor pool.
Yeah.
And I remember as a kid, or probably, frankly, as an adult, going up to the highest platform, looking out and going, nope. I hate heights.
Someone just texted
in. Can't stand
them. And he said, in the mid-90s, we used to jump the fence late night to hit up UBC's outdoor pool as teenagers.
Yeah.
And then he smoked weed on the 10-meter platform and would jump off.
Yeah.
So it was outdoors. You're right.
No, that was the, what was it called? Well, and you would do it without clothes. It was the naked 10-meter.
Skinny dipping.
No. It wasn't called that. My friends at UBC did it, and I was like, all right, have fun. My buddy ended up in in jail, naked. I'm serious.
High and naked.
Because it's the RCMP detachment out of UBC, mm-hmm. and they picked him up, and you know what they gave him? They gave him a little painter's suit.
Oh.
So you don't have to actually sit in jail.
I think that's what they give guys when they have to go pick garbage.
And then they called his dad, and they're like, we got your son in jail, and he doesn't have any clothes, so you're really proud of him.
A couple people weighing in. Confirmation, yes, the velodrome is on the Barnett Highway between Burnaby and Port Moody. And I guess it's used for a multitude of things, including volleyball. But a lot of people saying it would be in no way, shape, or form acceptable for the Olympics. It's really old and dated, needs a refurbishment.
Made for the 1954 Empire Games, apparently.
So some things have changed in the cycling world, quite frankly, the world period, since 1954. But we're that much closer to getting the Summer Games. Are you, if they dropped it on you right now, and said, would you want the Winter Olympics back in Vancouver? Would you just be 100%? I know.
We've had this discussion before, I've waffled on it. I've been like, yeah, it was a cool party, but it was one of those things where the memories were so good, especially the way it ended with the golden goal. I don't know if I would enjoy it as much.
But the infrastructure's there.
Yeah.
You don't need to build as much stuff as, say, if you're going somewhere for the first time, you have nothing.
Do we care about Josh's memories? Josh,
how old were you? Six when the Olympics were in?
I was 12. So okay. If they came
are
back.
Are you kidding me?
No.
You were 12 when the Olympics.
Do you not know how to do math?
That's it.
It was 11 years ago. Josh is 23.
I can't. None of this makes sense. Mm. 12. Okay, keep going.
It's like when Donnie and Moj would talk about Expo 86, and I'd be like, yeah, I was 10.
Seven.
I remember the scream machine, and they're like, oh, the bar scene was great.
yeah. I'm like, I bet it was. Okay, so tell us, what are your Olympic memories from 2010?
Donnie be like, oh, Doug and the Slugs were amazing.
I really only remember, like, the gold medal game, and I think I went down to Vancouver once. My family didn't like going places.
Right.
So
did you say your family didn't like going places?
Yeah, they didn't like going places.
where was your family?
We were in...
You guys weren't in prison, were you?
You guys Hutterites? What's going on?
We were in Surrey at the time. Okay. But I didn't go to like any events or anything, that's why if it came back, I'd be pretty into it.
Right, so you didn't get to experience anything.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so for the Joshes of the world,
mm-hmm.
we the need to have people. The youths, we need to have them back.
I think I would rather have the Summer Olympics, though. Just for the experience, and also
different.
And also, they might get a true outdoor stadium built. That's what I would want.
You'd need a lot of infrastructure for the Summer Olympics.
We've already gone over the velodrome,
right? Which is a viable option.
probably need to be a whole new aquatic center built.
Could you utilize the crown jewel of Burnaby, Swangard Stadium, because it's got a track?
For the athletics?
Well, for something.
They usually, the Olympics.
I don't think you can put like the 100-meter dash there.
Well, okay. Well,
Some dude serving a Dole Whip at the Congress. Sorry?
They only use one track.
Yeah, no, you could only... use it. No, not for, you could use it for something. It's a stadium, technically. You could put like really low-level soccer games in there.
Put the skateboarding there? The Swangard is a skateboarding park now. I think you'd have to get a lot new.
Yeah, well, you would. Absolutely. I'm just trying to think of what other...
Turn BC Place into a giant pool. That'd be kind of cool.
Just fill it up.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of BC Place, I have a friend. So remember we were talking a couple weeks ago about how the Whitecaps return to BC Place was being interrupted by the Wings and Wizards convention?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a buddy that was listening to the show. And his kids are into Harry Potter and everything else. So he took them. Mm-hmm. He's like, based on your show. He said your show's recommendation. I was like,
Mention.
I don't think we ever recommended going. Big disappointment, he said.
Really?
Yeah. He said it fell short of expectations, which were admittedly low going in.
What was he upset about? The Wings part or the Wizards?
He said it was... It was a lot of it kind of marketed itself as being somewhat interactive,
but
it really wasn't.
Right.
And he said it was just kind of like a huge letdown the entire time. Also, it wasn't.
Well, that's on par with the teams that BC plays then.
Right. I was going to say it fits the bill. But he also said it did in no way, shape or form have anything to do with any operations at BC Place. Like it was off in a wing of a boardroom, basically.
Right.
Like you could have...
Something tells me there was something more to this whole Whitecaps story.
I was determined as an investigative Big J journalist to get to the bottom of this. And I think by a friend telling me a casual anecdote, I got to the bottom of it. Anyway, well, we're up against it for time. There, we've done it again. We've talked our way out of time once again. It's been a fun Wednesday show, actually. We've got a couple more left in the chamber Thursday and Friday because that's how the week progresses. We're working on some guests. We're working on bringing you fresh new content for the next couple days. So bear with us as we get into the slow time of sports. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He has been Jason Brough. He has been producer Josh. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.